So I'm going to talk not very organized way, and I have a lot of slides to show you. Basically, it's the talk concluding a year's project around 2007 or 2008. And yeah, Moira mentioned that I was a co-founder of Parasite. So 15 years ago, I founded Parasite with six other artists in Hong Kong. And you know, you have probably longer tradition of artist initiatives here, and in Hong Kong it was very short. And so far, the existing artist-run space in Hong Kong is Video Touch. It was founded in 1985, and Parasite was founded in 1996. So you see, we are very young. But I somehow intentionally quit Parasite for a few times, but it was not very successful. So, but the last time I quit it, it was successful, and it's 2007. And after this, and I have started this project because you know for you know quite a long time, like 12 years working in an art organization, and there's a lot of things that I found quite interesting, and why we had to do this, and why we continue, or why we didn't close it down. Actually, we really considered to close it down like 6 or 7 years ago, but we didn't. So it has somehow transited to another stage. So after all, I have been thinking, what an art institution is interesting to me. Maybe it's not only about you know program, but also how this institution would respond to the change. And so I'm going to show you a lot of slides, and as I said, not very organized way, because it was supposed to be for a talk for 1 hour. So now I try to cut it short, and so there's some keywords I put in here. So who are the individuals and who are the organizations? And for me, it's very interesting because organizations are always like a machine. But I suppose it could be like a human being, especially in a very small organizations. But sometimes, you know, even in a big organization, you still find some kind of very subjective and very you know, human way, no matter good or bad, to deal with it. What happened? It's not moving.
Oh.
Hmm?
Okay.
No? No. It
starting always technical problems, so
it was working before. And But I don't know what
happened. Just the same.
Try this one.
Okay. This one? No.
Next.
Maybe I just end show first.
Yeah.
I started again.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Parasite was an artist-run space. Why? Because we were all artists. And even when I was running Parasite, and I organized some program, but I never thought of myself as a curator. So, who's the curator and who's the artist? And in the situation of the art spaces, in general in Asia, and actually it's quite interesting compared to what's happening here, I find. And that's my very personal experience living in Hong Kong. People like organization. People like institutions. So whenever I called any office, and they always ask you, where are you from? Which organization you are? They never ask my name. So it's kind of strange. So I started to think that a curator actually could be an art space. And organizations are more accountable than individuals. And we in Hong Kong, it's very easy to start a company. And it's really easy. You just need to pay like, you know, 40 euros, and then you can make a company. And so there are a lot of one-person companies. And organizations, and in this sense, as I said, the people like to deal with. So it makes it more like a certain kind of protection, certain kind of convenient way, more than working as individuals. So for me, it's kind of very interesting moment when I started to consider to quit Parasite, and that means I would lose that kind of protection, I would lose that kind of convenience. But then it also made me think actually how you can deal and work, you know, in this so-called art world as individuals. And of course, we have so many individuals, artists, you know, you have to deal with all sorts of institutions, galleries, museums, whatever. But compared to institutions, individuals, they're supposed to be more vulnerable. And so after I quit Parasite, it does happen that it was the time Parasite was run by a German curator, Tobias Berger, and actually he's kind of the first curator we hired for Parasite. Before that, you know, we only had some administrative staff or coordinators which worked more like assistants to the founding members of Parasite. And so it is this quite interesting moment when we considered to hire a curator. For me, I spent quite a lot of time to run Parasite. I mean, like between 2001 and 2002, and I really spent a lot of time. Basically, I was a director of Parasite, and I also got some money from Parasite, even it's kind of modest. But somehow, because Parasite got a grant from the government, so we could pay people to work at Parasite. But Hong Kong has been very small art scene. So as a curator, and probably some of you will also understand curator, what kind of job is a curator? If you're not working in a museum, what means by independent curator? So as I said, that I didn't regard myself as a curator, but I could get money as a curator. So I thought that that's interesting, if I could give this chance to someone who wanted to be a curator. So that's also the beginning how we consider, oh, maybe we should hire someone who really wanted to be a curator. But somehow Tobias Berger, even as a German, to be a Parasite curator is another story. And it's nothing because it's German or whatever, but it just happened. And so somehow, because of this kind of like tradition of Parasite, artist run, and we talked that he said, it might be interesting if I could do something, you know, like a second stage of running Parasite to kind of researching, you know, the types of art spaces in Asia. It's difficult to define in Asia. You can use alternative space, you can say like independent organizations, you can say like, I know, you know, should be so many names. But we try to see if there's a collective value. Of course, you know, it's very difficult. Even most people in Hong Kong don't think they live in Asia. And so there's a very common saying, maybe like a stereotype, you know, Asia, if there's a collective value. And somehow a lot of people were taught, you know, since little, and we shouldn't be too individual in a way, because there's a lot of norm we should follow. And so being an organization somehow is to make the individuals, not too individual. And so it's quite interesting, as an artist founding Parasite, people always remember, oh, you are Parasite. Of course, I'm not Parasite. And so in this journey, like in 2008, I spent around a month, I visited different art spaces in Asia, around like 10 cities, like from Shanghai to Jakarta in Indonesia. And I mean, basically, they're not really far away. I mean, if you fly, it's more like within 2 hours you can reach them. And so in my situation, artists quit artist-run spaces, and artist spaces become curated institutions. That's the fact of Parasite. And actually, it stirred up a lot of controversy when Tobias Berger started working in Parasite. And on one hand, people, you know, always kind of nostalgic, they missed all the old Parasite, so grassroots and it's kind of bohemian, and they felt very comfortable there, but now you become the institution. And in my journey, I visit different spaces. So whatever you name it, they could be called certain kind of like room, lab, site, space, hall, project, house, warehouse, gallery, center, museum, and here you call association too, right? But I find it's very interesting because this name doesn't tell you anything. And after all, nowadays we find that most things are related to each other because we are part of so-called the market. And the market is not only about money, it's the market for, you know, people, for audience. And as you receive the grant, maybe you are somehow responsible to do audience development. You know, audience development means like if you can get more audience and then you may be getting more grants. And of course, in other countries where you don't really get much government grants, and then you have to consider how you make money. And like in China, basically, you shouldn't be the non-profit making, because you know if you go to the police and they ask you why you do a non-profit making business, you know what does it mean? Everybody should be profit making, and that's not only in China. There's other like in Indonesia. Indonesia is interesting, but somehow not much government grants, but they do get a lot of support from foreign agencies. And unfortunately, you know, countries like Indonesia, they always have a lot of natural disasters. So it's become more like a tradition that they would have like Red Cross or international aids to help them. So that idea of NGO has been quite strong in Indonesia. But like in Japan, it looks like you're a very developed society, but you know, the funding for art space is very, very minimal. So you really need to think about markets. But it's interesting because different art spaces will try to adapt different definitions for markets. It can be just an organization of a few individuals who design its nature and fate. And yesterday, the other day, I talked with Hubert, and I asked him how, you know, NGBK would design the program, so you would have like many people, 50 people, you know, discussing. So, but still, like, you have 50 people to decide something, and in some organizations, they might have more or less, but still a very limited numbers. And as I said, even there could be like one person company, one person organization. But from outside as an institution, it's always like huge difference from an individual. It's like a big thing. But after all, it's still like within one person's business. And especially, there's no such official status of non-profit organization in many countries. That's why you can always adopt the name non-profit, because I just want to be non-profit. But somehow, after all, it's maybe one or two persons who decide how to use this money they generate. And so it's interesting, as I mentioned, that we call this independent space. But how independent they could be, I think it always depends. And Parasite has never been independent because it always depends on the funding from other institutions or government. And when I was running Parasite, I found the frustrations, like you have to do a lot of paperwork. It's always so silly to get the artist to do this administration. But somehow it's the facts. And also, you feel very bonded to fulfill all those bureaucracy. And so this Asia tours, and mainly like the springtime of 2008, I visited different spaces in Trinity Art House. It's in Yogyakarta, it's like a garden city, it's beautiful. And they mainly run their space with the art they sell. So they sell the art for the funding, mainly to cover the daily operation of the space, and then they would apply the grants from like Ford Foundation or Prince Claus funds, you know, those foundations to for their program. And it's a very interesting group of people, young photographers, MES MES 56 in Yogyakarta as well. It's a very photo-based collective. It's a photo gallery, but all the members were very, you know, active artists. They made their own work there. And in one group in Jakarta, it's a very lively space, and also dogs are so welcome there. And luckily we also saw a dog here last night. And I think that's important. If you can see a dog in an art space, how lively it could be. And it's amazing. I mean, Rangrupa is a very important art space in Asia. But it also, as I said, that it positions itself as an artist collective. They also create work. And they just participate in the Singapore Biennale this year. And Hu Fang is a very important curator from China, you probably learned, and he's the co-director of Vitamin. And it's quite interesting, you know, he's also known as a writer, a creative writer. And this is a project he has been doing, like asking people to read a page of the book they were reading, and he just filmed it. And Sun Yuan is a committee member of Xin Leren in Taipei. It's also an association, and it's a program. Basically, it's made with a member's exhibition. So you have to be a member to exhibit there, and so you see the mandate is very simple. They have the space to make sure the members will exhibit there. And you don't even need to work out any coherence between exhibitions. And in Taipei, there's also an interesting space called VT Art Salon, and it's started by Yao Ruifeng and friends. It's right next to the famous IT Park, and it's a bar. It's quite interesting. I talked with Yao Ruifeng, and they tried to be independent. That's why they didn't apply for any funding from the government. You know, it's quite free if you don't need the government. And then, so they had this idea to make a bar that they hope they could generate money, you know, cash, you know, from the bar which could support the art program. And after a few months, they found that they were losing money by running the bar because the business was not so good. And then they simply started dealing the art. They sold the art in the art program where they generated far more funding than the bar. And then they stopped the bar business and simply make it like a commercial exhibitions. And Arian Runjan is a very interesting artist. I met him in a way for my research. And here, you know, his car just broke down when he tried to drive me to see some art spaces. But the funny thing is, I like his project so much. He's been collecting the light tubes of art institutions. And it's quite interesting if you can get different lights from different art spaces and institutions, from very big to very small. And what means by art space? I think in Saigon you have this very official art space, you know, it's a painting shop. And then it's quite lively in a way because you can really see people making art there. And it's quite honest. And then 18 on the Bund in Shanghai is also another art space, but it's a club. It's a club which somehow I find, you know, they tried to be more exclusive, so art is something like, you know, prestigious, they thought. So they had this, like, private gallery right next to their club, you know, it's this members-only club. And this is a solo exhibition of Qiu Ansong, a very good artist. And then this is the office of Lu Jie in the Long March project. Unfortunately, he was not there when I was taking the pictures. But this is very private space. And it's quite interesting. I found Long March is commercial galleries, but normally they would claim their non-profit space. By fact, and they registered as a charitable, you know, organization in New York. But in China, and you know that anything in China would not be really recognized if it's not registered in Hong Kong, in China. So in this case, like he's like a sole owner of the Long March project in Beijing. And yes. And this is the Zhang Xiaogang studio, and it's such a drama. You know, we had Ai Weiwei was detained, you know, a few weeks ago. On the same day, his painting was sold for 17 million Hong Kong dollars, which is something like 700,000 euros, which is like a record breaking. But it all happened the same day. And now this is his studio, and I was so impressed. Of course, you know, the main part of the studio is his painting studio, which would be like a football field size. And there's a painting department, and then he also has a sculpture department. And then he also has an office with plenty of people, and then he also has a printmaking department, and also a canteen for his staff. And so in this case, I really found that, I mean, his studio is an institution. And as I mentioned before, you know, always very few people would decide the fate for institution and organization. And that night I was in Seoul, and I met this curator, Michael Cohen, from New York, and he was at that moment a contributing curator for maybe Quantu Biennale, I guess. But what I find so amazing, it's so much like you could design everything in the table, and that there's a museum of fine arts inside Cohen. So if decision making could be really casual and informal, and museum setting could be also very casual and informal. And I really like this because they would use a very domestic fan at the corner of the gallery, and which makes it more lively. And then another way to display art, you see, they look similar. You know, this is the work by Tadashi Kawamata, a very interesting Japanese artist. And this is a banner project I did in Hong Kong, which I also find similar, because when we think about how you would deal with this public space, which could be also for art, and should it be only in the museum and also on outside? And outside space could be also part of this organization and institution as well. And Asia's World City is the branding campaign by the Hong Kong government. And yes, so I tried to make a paradigm of the propaganda. So Asia's World City, but no space for arrows and diverse desires. And the conclusion of this research in Asia, it became a part of an exhibition curated by Tobias Berger. It's for Asia Art Not. Basically, it's more like an overviewing of the practice of those in organizations or institutions in Asia. And a little blah blah, and in the drawing you can see it was like a three person's initiative, and now only one remained, and so she's everything. And it was very active before, but now as one person there's not much you can do, so it's become more quiet after 3 years. And this first series, you can see, is about the space of those organizations. Because for me, it's always interesting to go to the back side instead of the front side. So sorry. And yes, like when you go to a restaurant, you always like to go to the kitchen to see how they make the food. And worse, I guess nowadays, you know, in the gallery space, we're in Beijing, in Berlin, Shanghai, wherever, you know, somehow you might see the similar art. But for me, it's always it's the process and how to and make it different. And my experience in Beijing, and it was very interesting for me. And Beijing is very developed, you know, art scene. Of course, you probably heard, you know, hundreds of galleries were there. They even would have so-called professional installation crew. You know, you could hire to install the work for you. And one time I was exhibiting there, and then they hired the installation team, and everything was so perfect. And they had this beamer, you know, the laser beamer to see the level. And everybody was in uniforms, you know, And it's quite, I mean, it was a new experience for me because normally I hang everything by myself, but at that time, you know, I was just standing behind, higher, lower, you know, left and right. And then, yeah, I think, well, it's perfect, you know, it's right. And then they said, oh, it's okay. Yes, I said, it's okay. And then they took the hammer out and smashed the nail on the concrete wall. And for me, I was really impressed, you know, that you can have this drama. On one hand, it looks very advanced. On the other hand, they still maintain the way they like to do. So for me, it's an interesting part. How to space where the people work. So this workspace series basically is more like a portrait of the people who worked in this space. So I try to show the details that the environment where people work in. This is the site of example. And yeah, this is the Tanti space in Seoul, and it's already closed down 2 years ago. And it's a solely subsidized by a company, Tanti Corporation, which is in the garment business. But I think this is also showed if it's subsidized by one company, so it's all up to their interest to continue the space or not. And this is Asia Art Archive, and it's pretty amazing. They double fold their budget in 3 years, and last year in one night they raised $2 million in an auction. And this is Van Grupper. You saw the dog, you know, and it's in this place. You know, you can use the bathroom as your office. And this is a parasite, and yeah. And yeah, you see, this is the wife of Tobias Berger. And this is Chimanti Art House. IT Park. And it's amazing space called Loop, an alternative space in Seoul, and because they have their own purpose-built building, 5-story. And they're selling arts, but they also made a lot of interesting program, and every year they had their, you know, single channel video festivals. And this is the AIT Art Initiatives Tokyo, and it's not a gallery, it's a curator's initiative, and they run an art school. It's totally independent art school. That means they generate the funding from the tuition fee, and they don't get any grants to cover the space. But for their program, they might apply funding from different foundations, and they don't get money from the government. And their school is called MAD, M-A-D. I forgot that. Something like make a difference. And this is a Bizarre, and Bizarre officially closed the dam in 2009 as well. And it's split into two. One is Made In, which is a creative collective founded by good artists from Shanghai, Xuzhen. And then Xuzhen was also a co-founder, co-director of Bizarre. And then the other half has become Art Hub Asia by Davide Quadrio. And it's more like a platform for exchange, mainly within Asian context. And they don't have any space, and they only have the office, and they run program irregularly. And this is Long March. Long March, for me, was the most corporate among all spaces I visited. And the end of this slideshow is a project related to these art spaces, which is called Mutating into Failure. It's part of the Quantum Triennial, and we were commissioned to develop a project. And I find it's very interesting to think about what means by institutional organization after this research trip. So we gathered a group of artists, curators, and writers together, and just to do a workshop, and which was really open-ended. We did not have any mandate what we should do. But somehow it was also difficult. I think it's also good we can talk about how much influence those Biennales and Triennales could, you know, make to the artistic practice, because it is a Triennale. So the idea of exhibition was always, you know, up on the table time to time. And even we really tried to avoid that idea, we had to do the exhibition. And so we developed a project which we found that how we could make it. And finally we decided that maybe we could just make a journey together as a workshop. So we spent 3 days, 72 hours, you know, one day in Hong Kong, one day in Shenzhen, and one day in Guangzhou. And we tried to see how artistic exchange could be made besides in such situation like in seminar or a talk, but we also tried to do it like on the table of the restaurants or, you know, inside the coach when you were traveling with each other. Somehow where you talked it in a way, you know, without this presupposition artistic, you know. And so you see, this is Tobias Berger, Michael Lee is an artist from Singapore, Roger McDonald is from AIT Tokyo, Lee Kee is an artist from Hong Kong, Nana Seo is a young curator from Korea, Masahiro Wada is an artist from Tokyo. And yeah, this is also people, and Hegyo Young is a Berlin-based artist, and Clasher is the director of AA. And so we started the presentation of the project of the artists, and we ate together. And it's quite interesting what you could define the mode of workshops. And basically we talked about, you know, how we could relate it with each other. That means if we can consider to form organizations together with different considerations. And this is Parasite, and in the back is an installation by Franz Ackermann. And so on the move to Shenzhen, in Shenzhen we stayed in a factory. It's quite interesting. It's an underwear factory, and huge, with like 6,000 employees. And it's like a small town for itself. And I think this is quite interesting context for us, as we like part of huge collectives. And this is the final stop is in Guangzhou, is in New Zealand. And this is a statement. And it's this is so-called the visual outcomes of the workshop, and which actually was not directly related to the workshop, but somehow is just a contribution to the Triennale. And we consider this is more like a sign that we participated in it. And it's all hand-drawn, the leaflet and business card. And this is the Arend, and he spent all the production money on shopping in Guangzhou for all this fake stuff, and displayed it on top of all these museum's catalogs. And all these security guards and museum staff would take all the shoppings after the show. And this is another version of my contribution here, and you can see in the back. And this Michael Lee's museums in books, which is beautiful models. I mean, this is more like his also usual practice as well. Yeah. And Lee Kee just, you know, closed an area. And Masahiro made this surprise performance. This is, I have to say that this is not really a conclusion or product of the workshop, because this is also an old work by Masahiro Wada. But he arranged a surprise performance by a passerby to break his work. And this, I made this installation, which is more like a a documentation of the dialogue between two participants, Lee Mei Choi, a writer, curator from Singapore, and Roger McDonald, and on the Biennale. And to end this slideshow, so I have this quote, which is as part of their conversations. So in societies where modern conditions of production prevail, all of life presents itself as an immense accumulation of spectacles. Everything that was directly lived has moved away into a representation. I think this is more like a dilemma when we took part in the triennial. Because we try to be away from this representation, but finally we are part of the show as well. And as an organization, as the title suggested, it ended into the failure. And this is the quote by Lee Mei Choi: "How might one describe the job of the art critic or the curator? Someone who has a conversation with art, given that what we have are the texts of critics and curators. One might be mistaken that this conversation is mostly one-sided, the writer speaking to art." This is my presentation.